This is Hollywood's Open House. Taken from the pages of the nation's foremost screen publication, Motion Picture Magazine. Starring Enrique Madrigal, his violin, and his orchestra. Featuring Hollywood's comic star, Rags Ragland, with an all-star supporting cast, and yours truly, Jim Amici. And our very extra special guest, the incomparable Hildegard. Start our program off, our musical director, Enrique Madrigal, brings us the popular favorite of a few years ago, Exactly Like You. Enrique Madrigal, come here.
You want me, Jim? What's wrong?
Well, have you seen Rags Ragland around anywhere?
No, I haven't seen him anywhere. Why?
Well, he's supposed to be here right now. I stayed up all night memorizing a special introduction form all about what a fine fellow he is, what a great comedian, and how wonderful he was in pictures like Meet the People, Girl Crazy, Dewberry Was a Lady, Anchors Away, The Cannibal Ghost, and now he isn't even here.
Is that all? I know what he is, Jim.
You do? Where?
Downstairs. There are some people down there, and they won't let him come up.
Won't let him... Well, why?
On account of his beard.
The beard? What beard?
The beard on Rex Ragland's face. They're taking a whole bunch of pictures.
Holy smoke, a fine time to be taking pictures. We've got to find him and get him up here. Send someone down there.
Never mind, Jim. Here I am.
Rags. Hurry up. What's the idea of stopping to have pictures taken?
Oh, but it's important. It's for publicity.
Oh, publicity.
Sure. They took all kinds of pictures. Full face, profile.
But why?
Well, like I said, for publicity. They're going to build me up. Imagine, Jim. Pictures of me all over the United States.
Oh, that's fine. All over the United States.
That's what they said. They're going to put up my picture in every post office in the country.
Oh, Rags, how do you get into all this trouble?
Me? I never get in trouble.
Oh, is that so? Well, what about that traffic cop I saw you arguing with yesterday?
We weren't arguing. Just a friendly conversation.
Sure.
Sure. I'll tell you how it happened. I got hold of a car, see, and I was driving down 6th Avenue over near Radio City. And the first thing I know, I hear the peculiar kind of a noise.
Hey, you! Can't you hear my whistle? Pull over to the curb. Now get out of that car and come over here. You, come out over here.
Yes, sir.
Do you know you were just going 60 miles an hour the wrong way on a one-way street? You crossed the white line, passed a red light, and now you're parked by a fire plug.
Something wrong?
Something wrong? You only broke every traffic rule in the city. Now tell me, where were you going in such a hurry?
Oh, I was going to the fight. You see, One Punch Kelly is fighting K.O. Gloom, and I'm a little late.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'm going to give you a ticket.
Hey, can you spare another one? My wife, she'd like to go to see the fights, too.
She would. Well, this ticket won't take you to see One Punch Kelly. This ticket will take you to see Judge O'Brien.
Who's he fighting?
He'll be fighting you at 9 o'clock in the morning. Were you ever up before Judge O'Brien?
Now, what time does the judge get up?
About 6:30. How do I know what time he gets up? Now, let me see your license.
Well, I'm not getting married.
I mean your driver's license.
Oh, that old thing. Oh, the driver's license.
Yeah, driver's license.
Let's see, driver's license. It's in my wallet. I left it home on the dresser.
Oh, I see. But you do have a driver's license.
Oh, sure.
Did you take a test?
Uh-huh.
What happened?
Came back no blood.
Oh, no blood. Well, what kind of a test did you take to get your license?
Oh, there's nothing to it. You meet the fella, you get in the car, you drive around the block, you stop, you start, you go ahead, you back up, park at the curb, put $5 in the matchbox, drop it on the floor. There's no trouble at all. Everything is fine.
No trouble at all. Very clever. Now, let's get back to some of these violations. Do you know anything about traffic rules?
Oh, sure. I know all about the rules.
Well, what is the white line in the middle of the road for?
That's for bicycles.
Oh, for bicycles, I see. Now, do you see those one-way street arrows on the post? Do you know what that means?
Sure, it tells you which way the wind blows.
The way the wind blows, I see. But supposing an arrow is pointed one way on a one-way street and the other way on another street, what does that mean?
Wind blows up one street and down the other.
Oh, it does. Very smart. Now, how about the traffic lights?
Oh, I see those every once in a while.
You do, huh? Well, do you know what they mean?
Sure.
All right. What does the red light mean?
Stop.
That's fine. Now, what does the green light mean?
Go ahead.
Amazing. And what does the yellow light stand for?
God help those that are walking.
Oh, my. Tell me, who does the car belong to?
Oh, well, that I don't know.
Oh, a stolen car, hey? Well, as long as you were stealing a car, why did you steal a pushcart with headlights?
Now, don't talk about that car.
Why not?
I did a lot of work on that car.
Oh, you did?
I painted it and everything.
Oh, well, tell me, why did you paint one half of the car yellow and the other half purple?
Well, that's in case if I have an accident, the witnesses will get mixed up.
Oh, I see. Very good. Now, how are the brakes on the car?
The what?
The brakes.
Brakes. Oh, there's no accessories came with the car.
Accessories? What are you talking about? Brakes are not accessories. Brakes are on all cars. Now, tell me, how do you stop that car?
Oh, just lean out and drag my foot.
Oh, good do. I see. Driving a car with no brakes at 60 miles an hour. Say, tell me, aren't you afraid?
Oh, no. I keep my eyes closed.
Well, you do.
But don't worry. I'm a very careful driver.
Oh, you are?
Sure. Sometimes I even drive on the sidewalk.
Oh, please. Why, you poor fool. Don't you know the difference between the sidewalk and the street?
Sure. When I'm on the sidewalk, I hit more people.
You do.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday, I got 8.
Only 8? Oh, you had a bad day.
Well, I got an excuse.
What was that?
I was drunk.
You were drunk. Drunk. Don't you know it's against the law to drive a car but under the influence of intoxicating liquor?
Well, that's the reason I drove the car.
Why?
I was too drunk to walk.
Oh, you were. Hey, another thing. I noticed that there's no license plates on the car. Now, where are you from?
New Jersey.
Oh, one of those Jersey wise guys. Come all the way over here to New York to break all the laws. I bet you had a tough time with all that traffic coming over here.
No. Just went right through.
Oh, you did. Now, look, you seem to be a pretty nice guy. Now, if you'll answer one question for me, I'll tear up this ticket.
Okay.
Now, listen carefully. How in the world did you ever get through the Holland Tunnel?
Well, there's an opening on the other end.
Yeah, there's...
Hollywood's Memory Lane. Hollywood is a land of tinsel and glitter. It's a shadow land where almost nothing is permanent. Exceptions to this rule have been few, but there's one great exception. A motion picture which will live in our hearts and in our minds for many a year. It's this motion picture that the editors of Motion Picture Magazine have chosen for today's memory movie. It's titled The Life of Emile Zola. We bring it to you now in our own radio version based on authentic material from The Life of Zola.
In the name of the people of France, Alfred Dreyfus, captain of the 14th Regiment, having been found guilty of the crime of treason, is condemned to deportation and imprisonment for life. He is to be publicly degraded, stripped of his arms, and dismissed from the service of France, thus forfeiting his privileges, his decorations, and his right to bear arms forever.
Pardon me, Monsieur Zola. Madame Dreyfus is here to see you.
Yeah, Dreyfus? Is there no getting away from that name? All right, I'll see him.
You may come in, Madame Dreyfus.
Thank you. Thank you, Monsieur Zola, for seeing me.
I haven't much time.
I shall be brief, Monsieur Zola. I've come to ask your help.
My help? I can't see in what way I can be of any help to you.
You know that my husband...
Yes, I know all about him. Who in France does not know about him? He's a traitor.
My husband is not a traitor, Monsieur Zola. He's innocent. Oh, I beg you to take his side and publish his innocence to the world.
I declare the innocence of a man judged guilty by a military court?
I have proof of his innocence. Unquestionable proof. Look, it's all here in this portfolio. I'll leave it here with you. Oh, read it, Monsieur Zola. And decide for yourself whether Alfred Dreyfus is a traitor. And decide what you must do if he is innocent.
Yes, I agree.
Your whole attitude is preposterous.
Absolutely,
Emile, you'll be ruined if you defend Dreyfus.
The man is innocent.
He's been tried and found guilty.
The man is innocent.
Oh, very well. Now, what do you want to do?
I've written a letter to the President of France. I want you to publish it in your newspaper.
Oh, but Emile, I...
Wait. I'll read it to you. Mr. President of the Republic, permit me to tell you that on your record, and the history of France is now being threatened with a most shameful blot. The Dreyfus affair. Dreyfus is innocent. This, Mr. President, is the simple truth. Therefore, I must speak and I must accuse. I accuse the Minister of War of having concealed decisive proof of the innocence of Alfred Dreyfus. I accuse the Chief of Staff of being an accomplice in the same crime. I accuse the War Office of having viciously led a campaign to misdirect the public opinion in order to cover up its own injustice and its own sin. Mr. President, this wrong must be righted. For in a nation of free men, an injustice to one is a dangerous transgression against all.
Emile, you know what the army will do to you if you publish that?
Yes, I know. They'll put me on trial for libel. They'll try to ruin me. Well, let them. In the freedom of this one man, I see the freedom of all men. In his unjust imprisonment, I see the imprisonment of the spirit of all mankind.
In a moment, we will bring you the second act of The Life of Emile Zola. And now, Act Two of The Life of Emile Zola.
Silence. We must have silence in this court. Silence. Excellency, is this a trial in a court of law, or is this a farce upon a stage?
You do not think Monsieur Zola is receiving a fair trial?
No, he is not.
Your only restriction is that you may not introduce the case of Alfred Dreyfus into the trial of Monsieur Zola. It is irrelevant.
Irrelevant? Monsieur Zola is accused of criminal libel. of falsely accusing the army of injustice. How can I possibly clear Monsieur Zola of this charge unless I prove that Monsieur Dreyfus is innocent?
That is your problem.
Your Excellency, may I speak in my own defense?
That is within the law. You may speak, Monsieur Zola.
Thank you. Gentlemen of the jury, each man who lives desires above all to serve his country. Each man fulfills this task as best he can. Some choose the way of the sword, as did Alfred Dreyfus. Some choose the way of the pen, as did I. But you, gentlemen of the jury, have been granted the privilege of serving your country in the greatest of all ways, through justice. You are citizens of a land which gave truth and justice to the world. You know that so long as a single innocent man suffers unjustly, no man can hope for justice. It's for this reason that at this solemn moment, in the presence of this tribunal which is representative of human justice before the whole world, I swear to you that Alfred Dreyfus is innocent. I swear to you that he is no longer a mere individual. He's a symbol of the world of free and innocent men. I swear to you that if you allow him to suffer and continue in his unjust punishment, you place in danger not only yourselves, but your children and your children's children, and that you destroy forever the things by which we have lived and for which we have died. Liberty, equality, and justice.
In the name of the people of France, Alfred Dreyfus, having been found innocent of the crime of treason, is created major in the army of France. In addition, he is to be publicly restored to his arms and to the army of France, thus regaining his privileges, his decorations, and his right to bear arms forever.
Our star maestro, Enric Madriguera, has been officially named the musical ambassador of the Americas. Now, what this engrossing title really means is that no one can play the music of the Western Hemisphere with quite the dash and zest that he has. We've had some fine samples of his arrangements of tunes originating north of the border, and now he steps forward to bring us a sample of the romantic rhythms of south of the border. Enric Madriguera and his violin in a special arrangement of the tantalizing tango, A Media Luth.
Does your cigarette taste different lately?
Not if you smoke, you know what.
Darling, je vous aime beaucoup. Je ne sais pas what to do. Vous avez completely stolen my heart.
You know what invites you to the beautiful Raleigh Room with our vivacious star, the incomparable Hildegard.
Hey, stop, 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 stop. Hold everything. For heaven's sake, Jim, what's going on?
Well, Enrique, what's the idea of stopping the program?
Well, that's just the trouble. What program? I start out on Hollywood's open house, and the first thing I know, I'm in the middle of the Raleigh Room.
The Raleigh? Oh, my golly, how did this end? Now I'll be fired.
Oh, well. In that case, maybe it's a good thing.
Well, now look here, Enrique.
Oh, don't fight, boys. It's all my fault. Oh, Jim, I changed scripts on you. I'm so accustomed to being in the Raleigh Room, I just couldn't get used to Hollywood's open house.
Hildegard, the incomparable Hildegard. Enrique, look who's here.
You're telling me? Am I looking? Am I seeing?
Hildegard, it's wonderful having you here.
Hello, Hildegard.
Henri, go away. Hildegard is here now.
Why do you think I'm staying here?
Oh, thank you, Enric. It's so nice to see you again.
Well, it's nice being among friends, even if they aren't yours.
And I like you too, Jim.
Yeah, that's me, one of a multitude.
Oh, but I really am sorry I got you so mixed up. You see, it seems so strange for me to be on a program about Hollywood. And because, I haven't even been to Hollywood. That's why it's so strange.
To which I say, so much the worse for Hollywood.
Oh, Jim, you know just the right thing to say to a girl.
But Hildegard, you
have
been...
Now, listen, Enric, if you want an exclusive monopoly on Hildegard, why don't you just say so?
So?
Boys! What were you going to say to me, Enric?
I've been to Hollywood.
I have. I don't know I've been there.
Certainly you have. You've been there through your songs. Each time Hildegard sings a song and makes it popular, Hollywood uses it. You sing a song called The Last Time I Saw Paris, don't you?
I certainly do.
Well, Hollywood used that song in a movie, and that's not all.
No?
No. You sing a song called I'll Be Seeing You. And Hollywood has already decided to use that as the title of a whole picture.
All right, Enrique, now it's my turn. Hildegard, you have still another song you sing, the one Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer bought up before the song was even released.
Oh, you mean All of a Sudden My Heart Sings?
Right. And now we're going to have the great privilege and pleasure of hearing this great new song as...
Hildegard.
Sir. Yes, yes, sir.
Would you like to hear a joke?
Sure.
I made it up myself.
Not you too, Enric. I also tell jokes every week in the Raleigh Room. As a matter of fact, Enric, I just got an award from the Can You Top This Boys, and it's a beautiful golden egg. It's for telling the world's worst jokes in radio. And but go on, Enric, now tell me
right,
your joke.
I'll tell you. It goes like this. I say, Hildegard, the other night I woke up in the middle of a terrific dream, and there was something running around my room without any legs. And then you say, something running around your room without any legs. And then I say...
That's right. Water.
How did you know?
Why, I told that one in the Raleigh Room weeks ago.
That's the way it goes. They steal my jokes before I even have time to think them up.
Please, may I go on now?
Sure.
Hildegard goes to the piano to play and sing in her own inimitable manner. All of a sudden, my heart sings.
All of a sudden my heart sings when I remember little things, the way you dance and hold me tight, the way you kiss and say goodnight, the crazy things we say and do, the fun it is to be with you,
remembering all those little things. All of a sudden, my heart sings. The secret way you press my hand to show me that you understand. The wind and rain upon your face, the breathless world of your embrace, your little laugh and half surprise, the starlight gleaming in your eyes, the magic thrill that's in your touch. Oh, darling, I love you so much. The secret way you press my hand to let me know you understand. The wind and rain upon your face, the breathless world of your embrace, your little laugh and half surprise, the starlight gleaming in your eyes, remembering all those little things. All of a sudden, my heart sings.
This is Hollywood's Open House, is taken from the pages of Motion Picture Magazine and stars Henrik Madrigera. The cast included Sylvia Lee, Don Douglas, and Louis Van Ruten. Our comedy star was Rags Ragland. Our guest star was the incomparable Hildegard. The script and all radio adaptations were written by Lee Shane. Original music was by Jack Belasco. The program was produced under the direction of Ray Green. This is Jim Amici inviting you to Hollywood's Open House at this same time next week. Hildegard appeared through the courtesy of Brown and Williamson, sponsors of the Raleigh Room, heard each Tuesday night coast to coast. Frank Ragland appeared through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of Meet Me in St. Louis.